Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Long Long is one of the most famous classical pianists in the world today. A superstar, really, at just 30 years old. But his story begins before he was even born in Shenyang in northeastern China. His mother played classical music to him while in the womb. When he was 2, his parents spent half their yearly income to buy him a piano. His father pushed him hard, sometimes terribly hard. And soon, Long Long was winning international competitions and playing in the world's most famous concert halls. Long Long makes his Boston Symphony Orchestra debut tonight and tomorrow. He has an explosive, emotional style at the piano. Watching him play is a true thrill, and I had a chance to sit next to him on stage at Symphony Hall as he performed this Chopin Minuet Waltz. We recorded a video, too, and you can see the gigantic sweep of his hands and the feeling on his face. It's all at radioboston.org. But it's that same uber-passionate style that's led some critics to tut-tut at the Chinese phenom. No one questions his technique, but they do question, as one critic put it, his exaggerated, flamboyant persona. I imagine that in his teens and 20s, such criticisms had to sting. But speaking with Long Long this week, I sensed a more mature musician, one who senses that his great gift may be stirring passions in even the most frigid of audiences, and reminding them, through the power of his play, why they're called classical music lovers after all. Right now, I am sitting here on stage at Symphony Hall. Long Long, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Oh, thank you. My pleasure. Yeah.
Now, we just saw you play. How do you feel? What do you feel when you're making music?
I think as musicians, we must connect with our heart to the music, to the compositions. You can't just play the note. You must always play something behind the note. So we need to give every piece its own interpretation and its own space to shine the individual work. Yeah.
Mm. And where does your particular interpretation, where does that come from the music? Because you've trained with really terrific teachers, both in China but also in the United States, and many people have commented that your interpretations are obviously unique to you. So where would you say that sense comes from?
I grew up with both Chinese music and Western classical music. So for me, the most important thing in music is the communication. But another thing also equally important is the knowledge of interpretation. And in classical music itself, we have a huge, long history. So in a way, playing music is almost like being a researcher of a history.
Can you show me an example of, say, when you're going through a piece, I don't know if you want to do the Chopin again or something else, and you hit a particular phrase or something that you think, maybe there's a slightly different way that I as a musical researcher can play this. Do you have an example of that?
I mean, let's talk about Rachmaninoff, since we are, you know, playing this piece. One of the most beautiful melody line is in the third movement. Have a tremendous of those long lines of the piece, and first of all, it's a Russian music, you know, which has a heart and soul in a very gigantic ways, and the mood of the piece is actually quite sad. So it's actually beautiful music, but brings you to tears. But not always you play, you know, if you go really loud and to open it up to make the climax. Sometimes the most touching moment is actually you're making a beautiful diminuendo. So for example, in this case, so you can... This is the build up. So you see, you can change colors in order to make the emotion climax. So that makes a really interesting interpretation, because everyone feels what you are thinking of. You know, if you just play something that you feel it but nobody else feel, then I think it's a waste of time.
Well, in that case, in years past when you were younger, mm-hmm. the tougher music critics said that perhaps you felt too much. That it overwhelmed sort of the more intellectual exercise of interpreting these great pieces.
Once you are teenagers, I think we need to have the natural interpretation of what teenagers always do, you know, and make things very exciting. And that's what I did. So if you ask me whether I'm playing the same as when I was, 15 or 16, there are changes. Yeah, but the style, the overall style kept, because everyone need to have their own signature. And if you look into great musicians like Glenn Gould, you know, he never played standard way. He never played as what people expected. But in a way, it's like we actually get some kind of weird rules. We set up some really unnecessary rules. And people probably think, oh, that's the rules, but in the end of the day, nobody really know how Beethoven played his music. Rachmaninoff, I know, because we have recordings. But even in the recordings, he sometimes have an argument with his own recording. He said, actually, I didn't mean that. So that's why I wrote it in a different ways. So for sure, we need to learn the history. We need to learn the style, you know, the basic style. But in the end of the day, what are you going to do? You can do less, you can do more, you can do more happiness, you can do more joyfulness, or you can do a tragic expression. So people have different interpretations, and you can't force yourself. For example, I can't say my idea is the right one, you know, because in art, you just can't say it. And you may be right, but the other person may be right too. You know, because there are many answers to one question in our world.
And yet, for most of Long Long's life, there was only one answer, one way. His father's way, and later his teacher's way. Long Long wrote an autobiography about this called Journey of a Thousand Miles, My Story, which is really the story of his father's relentless pursuit of turning his son into the number one piano player in the world. In the book, Long Long talks about a moment when he was 9 years old and preparing for a grueling piano competition where 2,000 students were vying for just 12 spots at a conservatory. One day, Long Long missed a few hours of practice. When he came home, his father screamed at him, "You're lazy! You have no reason to live!" He ordered his son to jump off the 11th floor balcony. Long Long exploded in return. He said, "I hate my hands," and started pounding his fists against the wall. That snapped his father out of his fury. He broke down into tears and ran to stop his son. That was then. But today, Long Long says he's thankful for his father's intensity.
He had an enormous dream of being a musician, but unfortunately, during the Cultural Revolution, I mean, the dream became a failure. But yeah, he became a musician, not as big as he thought, but he was the concertmaster of the traditional orchestra in my hometown. So it made me having a dream of becoming a musician. So I think without my father, I will not go this far.
Well, the reason why I ask is, I mean, you have an autobiography out, and you were...
Hardship when I was a kid, and I talk about that.
Well, and it's really interesting because you didn't have a choice when you started playing.
Actually, I didn't like the teacher, so that's why I think that the reason it became quite ugly, you know.
I mean, in the book you call the teacher Professor Angry, right?
Yeah. So she fired me, and basically it's kind of saying that I shouldn't play the piano is a wrong decision for me. I should do something else. So as you see, to find the right chemistry between teachers and students sometimes can be the most difficult thing in this world. And if you are lucky, you become a great musician. If you are unlucky, you may just give up when you are 9 or 10 years old.
I know in a previous interview you talked about how there are 35 million young Chinese piano students today.
Yeah.
And that while some of the teachers might be better in America, the American students don't work as hard. I've heard you say that before.
Right.
So what does that make you think about? You're at the vanguard of a new generation of great pianists around the world. Are we going to see more of them coming from China?
I think it's not only from China. I think around the world, there's always wonderful talents. But not necessarily all those talents will become a truly great musician, because it need to have time to develop, and also you need to have the right direction. Sometimes when you become famous early, you forget who you are, and you forget what you're doing, which is make music, not making something else.
Well, Long Long, it has been such a pleasure and delight to be able to speak with you, to sit here on stage at Symphony Hall with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Long performs Rachmaninoff's Piano Concerto No. 2 with the Boston Symphony Orchestra tonight and tomorrow. His talent can make your heart race. We've got a video of him playing Chopin just for us. It's at our website, radioboston.org. And by the way, if you tuned in yesterday, you heard some very different music on the show. Bluegrass hip-hop from Gangstagrass, who were live in our studios. Well, they left us with some CDs and signed posters, and we are giving them away to a lucky few. You can enter to win, by going to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/radioboston. And click the giveaway button. Plus, if you haven't liked us already, I suggest you do. It's a great page to spend some time with. Again, that's facebook.com/radioboston. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks for spending the hour with us. See you again on Monday. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.